As you all may have noticed, we started the service today with something called baptism. And in the process of that, I hope you heard me say more than once that baptism is a public profession of faith. And so what I want to do this morning, I know we don't have as much time with the baptisms and all that, but I want to focus on baptism and want to really look at what it means for baptism to be a public profession of faith. Now, I would tell you this, if you in your life, you've been baptized, I mean genuinely, you know, truthfully baptized as a believer, it is a very memorable experience, right? You'll never forget whether it was in a creek on a cattle ranch somewhere, whether it was in a feeding trough on a farm somewhere, if it was in a pool somewhere at a YMCA, if it was in a church somewhere with a portable baptistry or one that's been there for a while. You don't forget when you were baptized. And I wasn't planning to say this, but it just dawned on me because the church where we were saved, if I'm not mistaken, now this is really, it's kind of funny when I think about it, but I think the baptistry was under the pulpit. So they would move the pulpit and then pull like the flooring layer up, and the baptistry was down like inset into the floor, and then you'd step down into the baptistry, and that's where I was baptized in local church. So you just never forget things like that. Baptism is one of the two ordinances, commands Jesus gave for the church, right, for Christian people to observe, and there's a reason for that, and there's a lot we could talk about. Don't have as much time with it today. So we're going to talk today, just for the little bit of time we've got, about baptism being a public profession of faith. I want you to turn to the book that is called the Acts of, now I'm going to say it this way, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I know your Bible says Acts of the Apostles, but really it is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I've renamed it because it's more accurate. And we're going to look today in chapter 8 and just about three or so verses, and we're going to look at a guy that got baptized. And I want you to see in his baptism how it was a public profession of faith. And I'm going to give you three statements today that I think came from God this week. I told Rhonda, I said, I don't know where this came from, but I like it. So Lord, thank you, and I hope it's encouraging for you as well. In Acts chapter 8, I want you to look first of all to set the stage in verse 26. And you're going to be introduced in this passage to a guy named Philip. Now, Philip was one of the first, we're going to call him a deacon, a prototype deacon, if we can say that, earlier in the book of Acts, one of seven men who were chosen to serve alongside of the apostles, right? The apostles were committed themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer, and these prototype deacons were there to assist and meet needs in the church so that the apostles could keep themselves committed to their ministry. Philip was one of those guys. Now, in chapter 8, Philip is in the middle of a great revival campaign. He's in a place called Samaria. And while he is there in Samaria and people are getting saved and he's seeing some really remarkable things take place, God speaks to Philip and says, Philip, I want you to leave. I want you to leave this revival atmosphere. This is your dream church, right? This is your dream ministry. I want you to leave this revival atmosphere. And you're going to go travel down a deserted country back road, and there's one person there who needs to hear the gospel, and that is going to be your task. Now, sometimes you don't like it, and I don't like it, when God changes directions in our lives. We like things being comfortable, things are good, things are solid, things are unified. Yay, this is good. But there are going to be some times God will call you to leave a comfortable place and go to a different place of service, and that's what he did with Philip. So Philip heads down that way when he gets the message. In verse 27, we're introduced to a guy who is known as the Ethiopian eunuch. Ethiopia, modern day Sudan, a little bit different location from back in the first century when Jesus was walking the earth. And this particular man, the Bible says in verse 27, in my translation, was a person of great authority. He served under the queen of the Ethiopians. Her name was Candace, and he had charge of all of her treasure. Now, what I want you to know with this, this person was a high and powerful government official. Now, have you ever, okay, let's throw this on the side really quick. Have you ever thought and imagined what would it be like if some high, powerful government officials got saved? You ever thought about that? how different things would be when it comes to our laws and what laws are passed and executing those laws. And like, wow, wouldn't that be crazy for political people to get saved? Well, that's who he was. He was basically a minister of finance there for the queen. And this guy is minding his business. He's probably thinking about converting to Judaism because he went to Jerusalem for a festival. And as he is traveling along, God says to Philip, I want you to go down to that deserted place. And when you see that guy in that chariot reading his Bible, I want you to jump up into the chariot with him and explain the text. That's your job. Now we pick up in verse 35. So the Bible says when Philip got there, he opened his mouth, and there with that high-ranking government official, he began at that scripture of Isaiah, there where he was open, and there he preached or proclaimed to him Jesus. He explained the Bible. Okay, that's kind of called expository preaching, by the way, right? Take the text and explain the text in its context and trust God to make a difference. Okay, that's kind of what he's doing. So he preaches Jesus to him. And now I want you to see in verses 36 through about 38 what happens with his baptism. Okay, here we go. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain or some water. And that government official, that eunuch said, like looking at Philip, said, look, here's water. What does hinder me to be or from being baptized here? And so Philip said, well, here's the deal. If you believe with all your heart, you may. Well, the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is a Son of God. So Peter said, that's good enough for me if your heart's right with God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, to stop. They went down, both of them, into the water. It was both Philip and that eunuch, that high-ranking government official. And the Bible simply says in this account, and he baptized him. Now, here's what I want to do. And I know this is going to be a little tad bit more topical today, but because of the baptisms, I want you to think about baptism being a public profession of faith. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take each of those three key terms, public, profession, and faith, and I'm going to give you three statements from those words that every person being baptized is saying, whether it is directly or indirectly. So I hope you are ready, because I have been excited about this. Number one, here we go. Public, okay? Baptism is a public. And what that means is when a person agrees to and follows in obedience when it comes to baptism, they are saying, I am not ashamed. Now, I want you to notice, nowhere does the Bible say that your baptism is to be hidden. Your baptism is always to be public. Like, what about this dude? Look in verse 36. The Bible says, as they went on their way, in other words, as they went down and along the road, they were not in his driveway hiding. They were not even in a church building in a Baptist setting. They were simply going down a country back road, a deserted place there in the public. And along that road is where this guy says, hey, there's some water. Can we do it here? Okay? Now, number one, baptism is always public, right? It's been designed that way as a testimony for people to know of a change in your life. Baptism is the very first step of obedience in a believer's life, right? That's why it becomes a memorable experience. As a believer, you're testifying to your faith. So it looks like to me, as they're traveling along, this guy perhaps has been looking for some water, right? He's already got that mindset. Maybe even Philip told him, listen, if you turn to Christ, you need to be baptized to identify with the name and person of Christ. So he's kind of looking for some water. And as they're traveling along, he's like, look, there is some water. So what in the world hinders me from being baptized right here in public? Now, little boy, I think I shared this years ago. I love this story. There was a preacher. He was preaching revival at Ramoth Baptist Church in Stafford County. I went up one year, knew the pastor, and went up there, and I'll never forget it. He shared an account with baptism, and I don't know if it was just one of them preacher stories they made up or was real. I don't know. Sometimes preachers lie, and they shouldn't do that. I try not to. But anyway, so he shared a story, and a little boy that got saved. And within a few weeks, he went to his pastor, and all he knew was he needed to be baptized, but he didn't really understand what the word was. So he went up to his pastor. I love this. He said, Pastor, now that I got saved, I need to be advertised. And you know what that pastor said? You know what? He said, I have never thought about it that way, but you are exactly right. Right? Now think about this. When you see an advertisement, is it hiding somewhere? Oh no, man. If you walk down, even like downtown Fredericksburg, especially they do their open house before Christmas, and they got signs and advertisements and all kinds of sales signs and things are being promoted. It's all being done publicly. We want y'all to come in. We want your money. That's kind of what they're saying without saying it, right? Okay, we want you to come in. Advertisements are always public. Another little boy said, now, preacher, I didn't got saved. Now I want to be advertised. I want people to know. Baptism is always a public. And if it is public, it means, listen, I am not ashamed. Now, here's the second word. It is a public profession. Here's what I'm going to say with that. When it comes to your profession, what you're saying is, not only am I not ashamed, I'm not confused about what I'm doing. Right? Now, look what happens here. The Ethiopian eunuch says, look, there's some water. I'm not ashamed. Let's do it right here out in public. Well, Philip then responds in verse 37. And let me say a quick note here. This is going to be a textual criticism note. Your Bible may have verse 37 in brackets. If you are using this morning your Greek New Testament, you'll see why. If you're not using your Greek New Testament, you're not going to understand why. But here's the deal. When you go looking into evidence for biblical text, you find thousands of manuscripts, and you're putting those together trying to determine what was the original Holy Spirit-inspired text. Those who engage in textual criticism take all the manuscripts, and they notice that verse 37, what we call verse 37, is missing in a lot of the manuscripts. So some Bible translations do not include the verse, or they'll put it in brackets to show you that this is not in all the manuscripts. However, if you go back and look at the majority of the manuscripts, it is in the majority. So that's why there's differences there. No big deal. But here's what's really important with that. Whether verse 37 is original to the text or not, it is perfectly sound theology that may have been added as a note because of baptism. Now, here's what Philip says. Remember, profession, I'm not confused. So Philip says, all right, here's the deal. Let's make sure you understand it. If you believe with all your heart, then you may. Right? If this is serious to you and you believe, right, your faith is solid, then you may. Now understand, and I need to say it every time we baptize, baptism does not save. Salvation is through Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. It ain't by water, right? I think it was Adrian Rogers years and years ago. He said, you can be baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your social security number and you're still going to go to hell. That's what he said, right? Baptism does not save. We understand that. If your faith is genuine, right? You don't find forgiveness of sin in the waters of baptism. What it is a physical outward picture of an inward reality. That's all it is, okay? It's sort of like, I've heard somebody compare it to a wedding ring before. The wedding ring by itself doesn't necessarily mean that a person is married, right? I can go to Kay Jewelers and I can go buy one, stick it on my finger. It don't really mean I'm married, but what it does mean is if I've been married, it's a symbol then that reminds me in the world, like, oh, that dude is committed to a nice young lady, right? That lady is committed to a nice young man, right? It's kind of like a symbol like that. So baptism, a profession, I am not confused. And the order, now watch this, the order for baptism is always believe and then be baptized. That is why we call this believer's baptism, okay? What you saw today was not lost people that got saved today. No, that's not baptism. What you saw today was saved people, and now they are publicly professing that I've made that decision in my life and I've been saved. Okay, that's what baptism is. So it is public. I'm not ashamed. It is a profession. I am not confused. And now here's the third one that hit me this week. Faith. Now watch this. Profession of faith. I am not playing. Have you seen people play when it comes to baptism? Have you seen people jump through a hoop just because they know they need to be baptized and they think it's going to get them to heaven? Listen, when it comes to baptism, I'm not ashamed to stand for my faith, right? I'm not confused about what I believe. The man said in verse 37, I believe that Jesus is a Son of God. And you know what he's saying with that? I'm not playing. So Peter or Philip says in verse 38, well then listen, if you're not playing and you mean business and there is some water, then let's stop the chariot right now. Put the car in park. Turn off the ignition. They stopped the chariot, but the Bible says, and they both went down into the water, Philip and that high-ranking government official, and it simply says, and he baptized him. Now, some of you wonder, and I've done a whole sermon on baptism. I ain't got time right now to go through this. But some people do wonder, why do y'all Baptists dunk everybody? Well, let me ask you, well, two things I would say. Number one, the word baptized literally means to dip, to immerse. Literally, right? I mean, that's what the Greek word means. If you want to impress your coworkers, where you say, I went to church yesterday and I got baptizoed. That's the Greek word, right? I got baptizoed. And that means literally, I got dipped, I got immersed. That's what the word means. But you know what I think is the strongest argument for immersion, baptism by immersion? The symbol and picture. Now, what are we saying? Baptism is, basically, I'm just going to use Wade for a minute. Baptism is saying, you know what? Wade was living his life, like he said, his testimony. You know, good kid, you know, I mean, all you got a testimony where you robbed somebody or nothing like that. Just a good kid, you know, growing up, you know, kind of drifted some. But at some point in his life, Wade said, you know what? As a sinner, I'm still going to hell if I ain't got Christ. So Wade decided, I think he said about 12 years of age for him, but in his life, he decided, you know what? I am going to turn to Christ. And the Bible says this, when you are saved, the old you dies. Now let me ask you a question. What do you do with dead things? You bury them, right? I told y'all a few weeks ago, our cat of 20 years, right? Took her last breath. It won't easy. Did PK cry? Yes, he did. Thank you for asking. You're welcome. That night won't real easy, right? 20. So, okay, when something dies, we bury it. And even right now, I go out in the yard and I see that little mound of dirt where I try to cut. Okay, you bury it. Okay, in baptism, what you're saying is a person I was is dead. What do you do with dead things? You bury them. So symbolically, you go below the surface of the water, just like dirt when you're physically dead. You're buried. But the Bible says you're raised to walk in newness, right? You are a brand new person in Christ. So baptism gives that picture. So when this guy says, I believe, and Philip says, all right, do you mean it? Right? And he said, look, I'm not playing. I am ready right now. So Philip said, okay. And he baptized him. And when the minister lifts you up out of the water, you are proclaiming to the world, I'm not going to live as a pagan anymore. Right? It's a whole new difference. It's a whole different perspective in life. Everything changes. So I'm symbolizing that I'm not going to be the same person I was before. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. And everybody said, oh, I'm glad you said that because I ain't perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. But I'm telling you this. Every time a person meets Christ, Holy Spirit comes in that person's life and heart, there's going to be some kind of change. There's got to be. And then all we do is symbolize it with baptism. So here's three statements. Public profession of faith. And every time a person's baptized, they should be saying, number one, I am not ashamed. Number two, I ain't confused. I know what I'm doing. And number three, I'm not playing. We love, man, Luke and Hayden and Wade. Man, you made our Sunday. You made our Sunday with your faith. You made our Sunday by saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm not confused about what I believe. And I'm not playing. You made our Sunday. We love y'all. So thankful for that. So let me close with this, and then we're going to recognize them at the end of the service today. Have you been scripturally baptized? You know, we don't have a set schedule for baptisms. We do with Lord's Supper pretty much each quarter. We designate first Sunday. But we don't with baptisms. It's as we need to. And it may be that you've been thinking about baptism for a while and you know you need to be. You want to talk about it. Look, call, text, email, trip me up on the way out, whatever it takes. And say, hey, I do need to be scripturally baptized. I want to talk with you about it. And we'll talk about it. We'll schedule something in the future if that is where you are. And we'll be very delighted to do that. So we're so thankful today for baptisms, a public profession of faith. And I want you to bow as we close right now. As we wrap things up today, I know it's been a little bit different focus and different sermon, and maybe you are considering baptism in your life. You need to be, and I hope this morning that would be your prayer of commitment before God, that you are going to follow through in obedience when it comes to scriptural baptism. And then anything else in your life, your heart, just need to pray for before we go today, do that here as we close. And then just in case you are seated here listening later online, you're not saved, and I'm just going to tell you, you know me, I'm pretty straightforward and simple, but I can tell you this, you can go into the waters of baptism, a dry, hell-bound sinner, and you can come out a wet, hell-bound sinner if you don't mean it. So if you're not saved, maybe God is using the picture of the gospel today to prick your heart via your eyes to see that image of being buried and being raised up as a brand new person. And it may be today. You need to make that your commitment, your prayer, that, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm putting my faith in you. I'm receiving you as my Savior and my Lord. Commit my life to you. I'm going to be quiet, leave a moment to pray and reflect, think. I'll close this time, and then we're going to recognize those who were baptized, and we'll be on our way for this Sunday. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for such a joyful Sunday here in this local church that has been identified as Mountain View Baptist Church. I thank you for those today who made a public profession of their faith. I'm not ashamed. We're not confused about it. I'm not playing with it. And I pray that you would bless in their lives, that they would find that even though Satan may thwart, even though he may attack, as Hayden even said in his testimony, they would find victory in Jesus, very clearly defined and clearly experienced, and you would grow them and use them for eternal impact in your kingdom. You heard our prayers this morning, various ones lifted up. Answer those according to your omniscience, your omnipotence, and your purpose, your will to glorify your name. Protect us and bless us as we leave today. We also lift up prayer for our dear Larry as he's recovering from a stroke. We pray that you would restore speech, that whatever medications he has been prescribed will prevent anything like this happening anytime soon in his life. You'd help him and Louise both as they try to get through day by day with his recovery. We lift up our prayers to you now. In Jesus' strong name, amen.